between the pipes, inside the red zone, and around the diamond. It's sports. Down and dirty. Pittsburgh style. Black and gold Sunday Rob Pratt. News Radio 1020. KDKA.
Everybody, this is Rob Pratt along with the boys. We've got the incomparable coach, Walt Harris. So honored to have him here today. Of course, Bob Dvorak, Jeff Cohen, John Pesci, the unofficial mayor of Coraopolis. I think Mr. Celeste will give me some slack on that one. Of course, works. don't be so sure about that. And who cares at this point? Anyway, it's nice to have John here today, who works side by side with Mr. Celeste and does a great job. And you're here for a special reason. We'll get to that in a moment. But kind of like Chavez and Martinez on the stool last night in Vegas, and I'm ready to go to war over the NHL. These players deserve the cash. Mr. Dvorak, you've covered your beloved hockey longer than anyone else, and don't let me have anyone ever say a disparaging remark about those who are the gladiators of the National Hockey League. Come on, Mr. Bettman, let's sign the deal and let's have some hockey. Good morning, Mr. Dvorak.
Yeah, if anybody deserves the money, it's these guys, don't they? But, you know, again, this is one of those things in the sporting world, another lockout. We got replacement referees. We got bounty scandals. We got Lance Armstrong has stripped of his medals. It's just, I don't know. Just in this economy, it's really tough to.
By the way, I just saw Lance. He was pedaling down McKnight Road.
Yes, that's right.
Guy's in shape.
Well.
Guy's in shape. Anyway, on the 84 Lumber Professional Project Professional Newsline is our buddy Ted Arnault. Ted, it's a matter of business, and I want to talk about the NHL here quickly before we pay a special tribute to John Pesci and get the guys talking some football. What really is the impasse here? I mean, come on. These players aren't – the average salary is $2 million per player per season. But when you think about what these guys do over that six-month schedule, it's not for the faint of heart. And they've got to find a way to get this thing done because they don't really have an identity as it is. They're still trying to look for that TV audience. And many people thought people like Ovechkin and Crosby would put them over the top. It hasn't happened yet. And the last thing they need to have happen in the National Hockey League is this lockout, which began as of yesterday.
I agree with you. It's not like the NFL where you've got this huge built-in TV audience. They're still scraping and scrambling to make sure they get coverage, and you know, they're all doing pretty well right now. But I think a lockout like this for the NHL is very, very dangerous, and that's strictly speaking from a business standpoint. And we all know how tough that sport is, and if they come in, the players come in unprepared, you know, the Penguins have had their injury issues in the past. You can just see that this could be fairly disastrous for the NHL, and it's certainly in everybody's interest just to get it resolved. And we know that nobody really wins on these things, and they especially don't win when they're not negotiating for the huge NFL contract.
Well, here's what I love about the National Hockey League. They don't usually screw it up. The players are, I guess, prime cut. I mean, they're about as best you can get in professional sports. Owners, very humble. We have one in this community. Look, don't if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, we've got so much craziness happening in professional sports. Hockey is the most pristine. I just don't want to see the ugliness happen here, Bob.
Well, it comes down to a matter of give backs. The owners want more. They're going to ask the players to give back some more. You know, you can look at the issues and scratch your head and say, well, isn't the pie big enough that they could, you know, just divide it up equally? It's at the beginning of the season, you know, if they get it settled quickly, it's no harm done, I don't think. But the longer it goes, the worse it gets.
All right, so what happens? Sidney, because as he said, we're just hockey players. What a great kid, going to play, goes to Russia, takes someone's job, but that's life. But then he gets hurt, and then he's out again, or maybe longer than just one season, multiple seasons, or maybe a career. So how much did you really save if you lose the face of the National Hockey League?
Well, injuries is one thing, and don't forget, in that Russian league, it was just recently there was the airplane crash that wiped out the entire team. You know, it's not the United States that they're flying around in. There are all kinds of perils involved in something like that, and players want to stay active, but, you know, you are taking a huge risk, and if you've got you made an investment into a Malkin and a Crosby and some of the big name players, and they go over there and get hurt, you know, who makes up for your investment?
Well, time for Mr. Lemieux to break out the cape and save hockey once again.
He does that a lot, doesn't he?
He's amazing. All right, Mr. Pesci, before I move along, Juniata, Division III, but Division I in your heart. Let's go back, and obviously a special weekend coming up for you next weekend. And listen, it's all about college football at any level. And the first thing that I do every weekend, thanks to the Post-Gazette and the Trib, I get those district scores because people want to know about those Yellow Jackets from Waynesburg, the Golden Tornado of Geneva, and obviously Juniata. So I know you've got to be real excited about this.
Very much so, Rob. It was a long time coming. In 1960, I was Associated Press Little All-American, and presently they're going to put a plaque on the wall. So we're going back with five of the former players. One of the gentlemen's coming, Ron Tarquinio, is coming up from Kentucky to go with us up at the Juniata on Saturday the 22nd. Little known about Juniata, it's in Huntington, Pennsylvania. It's a very small religious school. It's a school of the Brethren. And Western Pennsylvania has had quite a few head football coaches from Juniata. One of them was Chuck Knox. Chuck Knox played 2 years ahead of me. And also Pat Tarquinio was in the 54 team that went to the Tangerine Bowl. Mm-hmm. It was the last time that the Tangerine Bowl had a small college. They played Southern Missouri, and they tied it 6-6. So once again, Western Pennsylvania has produced a lot of coaches from Juniata. At Bernie Andrews, who was a coach at Stowe Township, was instrumental in sending quite a few people to Juniata.
Well, congratulations, and I know you have to be really excited about this. Just give me one story from that senior season back in the day at Juniata.
Well,
that you can actually put
on the radio.
You're right.
One of the incidents is not too often does a center pull, and we were playing Kutztown. So the coach had me pull. We played a unbalanced line, single wing, direct snap, and I was the pull.
With no face mask.
No face mask. not at the time. So he had me pull, and I pulled, and I was to hit this tackle. So I did pull, and I scrambled right between his legs. I missed him completely, but I crawled right through and stood him up. And of course, one of our fullbacks did make a nice run out of it. But it was interesting. It's a good academic school, and I had 4 good years there.
Well, obviously, they produce some good people, and you're one of them. Thank you so much.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier to Bob, our basketball coach was Doc Green. Doc Green played for Pitt back in when they had the single wing and when they went to the Rose Bowl, 1929.
The Sutherland Scythe.
Yeah.
Like I said, Mr. Google calls Dvorak. I got to go to a break, but thank you, okay?
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I want to say thank you. And also I want to thank Sean Waddle, who was and Orlando Felcione, who was our captain, who were instrumental, and Tim Loritz. Tim is our new coach at Juniata.
Hey, give my best to everyone in Coriopolis.
Okay, I appreciate it. And, Rob, thank you very much.
We have to mention Foge before we go to a break, because he is Coriopolis. And I was with the mayor, Anthony Celeste, his wife Kathy, and a priest the other day, which basically
like
tells you where I am at this point in my life. And Mr. Diagardi, our great sponsor, we're talking about the Midnight Mass of St. Joseph's this year. Father Rich and company in Coriopolis to be heard on KDK. We were having a meeting, and Anthony was relaying a message about someone that they gave the opportunity to have lunch with Foge, and they just couldn't believe how lucky they were to have lunch with him. And time has passed, and it seems like it was many, many years ago since you were the coach at Pitt. But when you think of Pitt, Coach Harris, you've got to think of Foge Fazio.
No doubt about it. He's a wonderful human being and did a great job. Did a great job while he was at Pitt. They weren't very satisfied with it, but he did an outstanding job.
But in college football, let's be honest, they ain't ever satisfied with it. I mean, I hate to say it, the National Hockey League should be lucky to have the athletic budgets of some of these Division I schools and the pressure that are on coaches like Coach Walt Harris and many others. People have no clue, nor would they want to. We'll come back. Lots more to come on Black and Gold Sunday. It is 11:13, and this, of course, is a beautiful get-together to talk a lot of football and, of course, Ted's picks as well, just minutes away on KDK.
Rob Pratt is bringing his A-game. Are you?
Black and Gold Sunday. News Radio 1020, KDKA.
All right, back on Black and Gold Sunday, 21 after the hour of 11 o'clock. Program brought to you in part by Dr. Mayo Company, Allegheny Sports Medicine, helping athletes of all levels return to the game. Coach Walt Harris is here, Bob Dvorak, Jeff Cohen. Jeff, you can't really stress enough how big this ACC win yesterday for the Panthers over Virginia Tech was.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you look at what happened the first two games and what happened yesterday, it tells you that the new coach really kept this team together. And, you know, sports is really a momentum game. And once Pitt started off strong yesterday, they just kept knocking Virginia Tech back. And, of course, you know, people knock Cesari a lot. But you know what? He played a very solid game. The running game was great between Shell and Graham. And when you run that well, it opens up the passing game. And the defensive and the offensive line, I mean, they played really strong. And that's what it takes. And beating a 13th-ranked team after those two losses is a tremendous win for the team and for the program, because I know a lot of people were down. But you got to realize, I mean, they had four different coaches in 21 months. So for those kids playing on that team and the kids that really weren't sure what was happening, I mean, that was a great way to keep that team together. And if you listen to the coach, you know, during the week, he said, hey, we're just going to keep going back and work on the things that work. And when you listen to him, the things he says the most is, I'm going to have these kids play in the roles that they can play to help this team win. I think he's figuring out. It's tough when you practice, you know, during the practice, and now they're seeing the games. It's making a big difference.
Good job, Jeff. Good job.
So you thought I just knew baseball, Rob, didn't you?
No, I thought you knew corned beef, but that's pretty good. Coach, you know, and I didn't realize University of Pacific, it's been a long time that you played there, and, you know, Stanford, big win yesterday. I want to talk about that real quick before we get back to Pitt. You coached there at Pitt. I mean, you were California, Pennsylvania, and I know all those people were so excited to have you down there for a while. But this Stanford win yesterday, of all the things that I came away with yesterday, obviously being excited because of, hey, I'm a fan of Pitt. The biggest thing that happened in college football yesterday was the Cardinal knocking off USC.
Yeah, they matched them physicality part of the game. And I think Stanford has a lot of really outstanding football players. You know, they lost their quarterback. The one they had, Nunes, came in and did an outstanding job considering the situation. But they pounded SC. Bottom line, they pounded them, both sides of the ball.
You know, here's the thing. You know, should we? I'm never going to give up. But you got to start thinking about: is it time to just say, Pitt, look, SEC, what's going out there in the Pacific Blue and recruiting, and you know, you got Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State. I believe again will be there. And nice to see them get a win yesterday. West Virginia rolls over James Madison. They got a solid football program, good coach. Will Pitt, because let's face it, you got Russell Schell who lit it up yesterday, but how much talent really is in the WPIL? And we were talking about Ditka and your cousin Denny and Foge and just that special time, and obviously Johnny Majors and Jackie Sherrill and even Foge with Danny and them. But do you, is it going to be ever possible, Coach Harris, for the Panthers to actually be a dominant force on the national stage again?
I think what you have to do is you give a good coach – you give them time. You know, this is a difficult situation because Pitt's always struggled. I know when we came in, you know, Coach Majors had struggled here. I don't think it was all Coach Majors' responsibility, but he got the credit. It takes time to build a program, and then when you change leagues, and now you've had a bunch of changes in coaches, which very much hurts recruiting. I think the bottom line, you have to be patient with. If you got a guy you like, that's a good football coach, be patient with him, give him a chance to do the job.
Kind of like Dave Wanstead.
Well,
look, I'm never going to question those in positions of power like Steve and Mr. Nuremberg, obviously a whole hell of a lot smarter than me, but, you know, people have come up to me. I put you on Facebook yesterday. I mean, it wasn't a minute, bring back Walt. I mean, people want to kind of recapture what they once had. And I guess you have to turn the page. And this coach, Chris, I mean, all I had to do was make a call to Barry Alvarez, and I'm sold. So I just wish they could find the recipe to get them back. And Ted will attest to this, that you got the MAC now recruiting these players as well, too. So, it's just a different ball game right now in college football. And for some of the perennial powers that we grew up in, Notre Dame being one, and now them playing five games in the ACC, I don't know. I think all bets are off. It's just going to be a challenge every year to pick who's going to be number one in college football.
I think it is, and I think, you know, I think Coach is right. You just need some longevity in the program, and I think get a system that'll work. And recruit the kids, and then once they're there, really work with them. It's been, you know, just it's been a merry-go-round, and you can't have a big-time college program. Let's face it, it's a big-time college program. But you look at WVU; they've had a lot of coaching shakeups in the last 5 years, and you know, they're there. They've got the talent. And I think Pitt can recruit their way back into being very competitive.
Hey, by the way, Ted Arnault joining us in the 84 Lumber Project Professional Newsline. Akron, just where are they at right now? Just, you know, you got Tressel there, you know, in an administration role, but a school like Akron, you're familiar with it, spent a little time there. Tell me, where are they in the mix right now, and what should an athlete be thinking about if he has the opportunity to play at Akron, Coach?
Akron, you know, they got a brand new football stadium. They got a Bowden coaching for them. But they're in a very difficult league. That's a very competitive league that you can tell because every year somebody in the MAC knocks off somebody in the Big Ten or the Big East. You know, so Akron has a chance. It takes time. Same thing, same recipe.
All right, we're going to get a break in here, and then we'll come back. We're going to get into Ted's picks, but I got a lot more football to talk about with Coach Harris, Jeff Cohen, Bob Dvorak, John Pesce here as well, along with Ted Arnault. But we got to get this break in now, get to the bottom of the hour, CBS News, then we'll come back and head to the second quarter. This, of course, is Black and Gold Sunday, and we are live at Coons Market on McKnight Road. Stick with us. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
It's sports down and dirty, Pittsburgh style. Black and Gold Sunday with Rob Pratt, News Radio 1020. KDKA.
This is where you guys got to carry me because I do plumbing shows, okay? So we're going to talk a little X and O's, and I was listening to the coach talk, and, you know, the West Coast, the whole West Coast offense, spread this, spread that. I mean, we're talking like, you know, Heinz ketchup, we're spreading it so much. And here's what blows my mind. I'm talking to Don Hall, the head football coach, Seneca Valley, before their big game against Art Walker and NA this past week, and another huge win for the Tigers. And Art does a great job, but they seem to be getting things going in Seneca Valley. Jordan Brown, this quarterback, he's talking spread offense, spread offense. Coach, sometimes I just think this game is getting so complicated, and it really comes down to blocking and tackling. And you listen, when it comes to being an offensive mind, and I've said this, you're one of the best in the business, and I totally agree with that. But do you think they're just making it so complicated right now for even the average fan to follow it or to listen to a broadcast? Unless you have a telestrator or an old chalkboard, it's hard to follow sometimes.
Yeah, that's the deception part of the game. You know, they're doing this zone read concept in the shotgun, and the defenses are better prepared to handle it now because more and more people are running the spread. But you said it. It's still, did you block them or didn't you? You know, and no matter what you do, you got to block them on offense. And on defense, you got to get off the blocks. The game's not going to change that way, no matter how sophisticated you try to make it.
Well, it's like defense. They've fallen in love with the blitz now. I was watching the NFL Network. They're talking about the blitz from the end, you know, as opposed to you think the blitz is coming right up the middle. So it's just, I don't know, Bob. It just seems though there's a whole lot more about the game than there needs to be. And I think fans should just focus on the greatness of the game and what it was meant to be as opposed to always worrying about X and O's.
Well, these things do go in cycles, too. Remember back in the 70s, everything was wishbones and veers. Navy still runs a wishbone, which is stuff. Single wing, double wing. Call it whatever you will. It's football. You got to plant your knuckles in the dirt and beat the guy in front of you. Isn't that football? You know, basically, it'll never get away from that. And I think you can almost try to outsmart yourself or be too cute about, you know, I recognize this offense or that defense or whatever else. Yeah, I mean, it's a game. Just sit back and enjoy it.
Ted, on the 84 Lumber Project Professionals Newsline, is it really the clipboard, the game plan, or does speed and talent really negate all that stuff?
Oh, I think speed and talent, but preparation can take away some speed and talent. And I've always told players that the greatest thing you have playing football is your eyes. And the second greatest thing is your brain and how your brain reacts to what your eyes tell us. I mean, you can, by being prepared, having them ready to recognize what's going on, you take away some of the speed and some of the talent that another team may not be quite so prepared.
Tino Senseri, back to him for a moment. Undersized, many people say. I watched him play, interviewed him when he was a Central Catholic. Gets a bad rap. If I were him, I'd go right to the strip and start selling macaroni. That's what I would do. You know, but obviously he loves football. Great family. I love the family. I love the kid's spirit. But, man, he's had to overcome a lot in his tenure at Pitt. When you're changing coaches and coordinators, that's got to be so difficult. How would you as a coach, or in a situation where you're bringing in new coordinators, or you come in midstream with someone who's already got 2 years under a belt, under his belt, and you want to make a splash, okay, and he's the go-to guy, how do you approach something like that, Coach Harris?
Well, fortunately, Tino is the son of a coach.
It helps.
Well, he also knows that the quarterback gets too much credit, just like the coach. You know, too much credit when you win and too much credit when you lose. And it's a team effort. It will always be a team game. And I admire what he has done because he's had a lot of negativity surrounding him. But like I said earlier, he's the quarterback, so that's where all the heat comes from, you know, and it goes to. But he performed tremendously well yesterday. The line are the guys that got it done for him. And he did a couple nice things under pressure that he threw some ball to Shanahan. Shanahan went to the flat and then wasn't open and then turned it up and caught a pass. It was a huge play. So I think good things are ahead. I went to practice on Wednesday, and he had. I don't think the ball was on the ground at all during the comparative part of the practice against the defense. So I said, that's you know, he's going to have a good game. And obviously he did.
What I really like what you said during the break, Coach Chris is a football guy. And let's face it, if you're going to be a football guy, the place to be is Western Pennsylvania. So you like what he brings to the table. And I can see why, because he's just got that tenacity about him, you know?
Well, he likes football. He's not a salesman, so to speak, like, you know, we probably had on the guy before, because you listen to the guy before his speech to the Sun Devils was the same thing he said to Pitt. I mean, almost exactly. Paul is a sincere guy, and I think the players recognize it too. I think the players, what they did yesterday, I think says volumes about how the players are reacting to Paul and to his coaching staff. You know, I think they're doing a very good job of working with a group of young men who've had a tough road, what they've gone through. And I think their response yesterday, how they played, how they reacted from what they've done earlier in the year and how they've kept getting better and better, I think says volumes about what's ahead for us.
Before I get the question to Jeff Cohen, let me just say this publicly. The time that I spent with you and Steve Peterson when you came here, you weren't a salesman either. You weren't a Newt Rockne, but boy, you've got it done. And I just publicly want to thank you for letting me be a part of that resurgence of the university and the whole blue and gold. Of all the things that I've done in my 30-plus years of broadcasting, that might have been the most fun I've ever had. And I don't know if Pitt will ever find that again, and I hope they do, but I hope people don't lose sight of what you and Steve were able to do in your time here at Pitt. And Jeff, you're in the deli every day, and you were there when this whole thing started and it erupted. And I mean, I had alumni, many of them dentists, obviously, because that's what, as Mr. Dvorak, tomorrow's sports and that, you're going to want to definitely tune in. We'll talk about that in a minute. But these guys love their football, and I felt that with Steve and with Coach Harris here, and I'm just hoping it happens again. What are people saying about the current situation at Pitt in the deli every day?
Well, it's kind of like what you said with Coach Harris. I mean, the coaches sometimes get an awful lot of credit when they win, and they get a lot of blame when they lose. But we have a guy that comes to my deli, you know, three or four times a week, Ed Ift. He's probably Pitt's he's Pitt's biggest football fan. This guy bleeds blue.
Love it.
And he's a positive guy. But when you think of what happened the last couple of weeks, so if you listen to Coach Chris, what he said after those losses, so we didn't do what we had to do, but I have to blame myself. He didn't blame anybody else but himself. So I have to go back to the drawing board and figure out what we have to do to try to figure this out. And to me, I think it's a very important thing for kids to hear. You know what? He didn't publicly blame anyone about how they lost or what they didn't do. He said, hey, I'm the head coach. I have to figure this out. I have to do a better job. And I think the kids buy into that. And I think people are waiting for Pitt to turn this thing around. I think there's a lot of loyal Pitt fans. I mean, they had a good crowd there yesterday. And, you know, it turns the season around. You go from, you know, 0-2 to 1, you'd be a 13th-ranked team. And, you know, next week, hopefully they'll get a win over Gardner-Webb. And all of a sudden, they're 2-2, and then the Big East starts. And, you know, good things can happen. And I'm a big believer that sports is momentum. Two good running backs, and Surrey had a good game yesterday. The defense and offensive line played well. So you know what? Good things can happen the rest of the season for Pitt.
And, you know, we're all excited about Russell Shell, but how about Ray Graham? I mean, this guy had an opportunity. It all seemed lost, the knee injury, and this kid's never hung his head. Comes back strong, 94 yards yesterday, and no apologies. He's not looking for anybody to give him a shoulder to cry on. He's just happy to be in the game, and that's what football's about, Coach.
Yeah, he's a tremendous football player. You know, Dave recruited some really good running backs, and he may be the best of the running backs that that they recruited. And that first touchdown run he made where he started left and then he cut back, I mean, that's a big, big-time move. And I'm just glad that he was able to play. You know, yesterday when I went to practice, he had ice on his knee and wasn't practicing. So, that's the first thing I told Paul last summer, whatever you can do to get great Ray Graham back playing, you know. And obviously he's a senior, he wants to play, he wants to lead, and he can do it.
I tell you, you know, today the Browns and the Eagles go at it, and LeSean McCoy, you know, I didn't realize when he was here how good he was. This guy could be in the top five running backs, Coach Harris, right now in the National Football League.
He's extremely elusive. And a great, great young man. I've met him a little bit. He's really a classy act.
All right, sports in that. And we were talking, Coach was, and I had heard this earlier about Coach Ditka wanting to be a dentist. His anesthesia would be a forearm to the chin. I mean, I can't even imagine that happening. But great dental school, maybe the best dental school in the country. And what's this thing with sports in that? What's going on tomorrow?
Okay, you could knock your teeth out and then fix them.
right. One-stop shop.
We went back to the golden era of Pitt football in the 30s. They had won national championships in 36 and 37. 38, they came. It was called the Dream Backfield. Marshall Goldberg was an All-Pro six times.
Great names.
With the Cardinals, right? And Chicharito and Cassiano and Curly Strebbins. These guys played with Jock Sutherland, who played at Pitt in 1917 on an unbeaten team, and they called him the Fighting Dentists because it seemed like half the roster was going to be doctors or dentists. So, was Sutherland's last year at Pitt. So, you know, it's just a look back at a golden time. And at the time, Pitt was not only the talk of the town, it was the talk of the nation. Wizard White was playing for Art Rooney's team, and the Pirates had just blown a lead and lost the Cubs with the Homer and the Gloman and that whole situation. So Pitt was basically the sports story of the time, and we just take a look at that.
You son a football player, obviously you coached there, your family, they were young when you came here. Looking back, do you think you realized that not just about football, what the university was about, but academics and medicine? And I mean, I don't know any place in the country that's a triple crown university like they are, Coach Harris.
Yeah, it's a great school, and we really took pride in the academic part of it. I told our staff, let's not recruit anybody that can't graduate from University of Pittsburgh. I think we make a mistake when you bring football players in they can't do it. And you can't recruit our home area if you recruit a guy and he doesn't graduate. I mean, he may not play. You can deal with that. But if he doesn't graduate, then I think you really let yourself down and your whole program down.
All right, tell me. I got to ask, now that you brought academics, are these kids like DeCastro and all of them and Andrew Luck to come out of Stanford? Is that like an Ivy League? I mean, you got to actually have some brain cells to go there. I mean, is it like Ivy League with sand as opposed to the ivy growing on the wall? Is it pretty impressive out of Stanford?
It just depends on what era you're at. If you're, it really depends on who the who lets them into school, you know.
Who's watching the door that day?
I'm sure DeCastro is an outstanding student. You know, you don't know, but there are a lot more athletic than I remember we had, and whoever a person allows them to get into school. It makes all the difference, and that's what's helped them.
Here's what I can't understand is how they got John Elway. I mean, think about it. Of all the schools he could have ended up in, well, his dad had a lot to do with that, but he ends up at Stanford. I got to go to break. One more thing. Bob, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask Coach, you know, one of the challenges about coaching at the University of Pittsburgh, you're in a city, a metropolitan area with such a big presence of professional sports, and you're almost always going to be in the shadow of the Steelers now with this era. What kind of challenges did that pose for you, do you think? just having to deal with the fact that it's a college, but yet you get the pro scrutiny almost from the media.
Well, that's just part of it. You know, I know when I was at Ohio State, those guys were complaining about the coaches were complaining about how tough the press was, and I had just left the Jets. And I said, whoa, you yeah. guys don't know what it's like right. until you're in New York.
Right.
So that's kind of part of it, you know, part of the job. And honestly, with the setup that the University of Pittsburgh has, being down there with the Steelers, to me, is one of the greatest advantages because the Rooneys are unbelievable supporters of University of Pittsburgh. And Mike Tomlin, everybody is on the same page and all together down there. So it's... Plus, the parking lot, you know, when you bring recruits on campus, they see all these beautiful cars out there. What a great motivation.
Right. They all, guys. I got to get me one of these.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. All right, let me get a break, and then we'll come back. We're going to sneak a couple of Ted's weekly picks in after the break. Ted, of course, on the 84 Lumber Project Professionals Newsline, and Dave Goldberg within the hour, too, one of our favorites. Stick around, ladies and gentlemen. It's Steelers Sunday. Right now, as we are on the air, Steelers a 5.5-point favorite to beat the New York Jets. They kick it off at Heinz Field at 425.
The Black and Gold Sunday Show with Rob Pratt. News Radio 1020. KDKA.
All right, we are back. Program brought to you by Dr. Patrick DeMeo, Allegheny General Hospital. You know him, of course. Allegheny Sports Medicine, helping athletes of all levels return to the game. We're going to save those picks for after the new news. You know, speaking of sports medicine, how far has it come, not since you were a player, but when you first became a coach? And if it wasn't for guys like Dr. Mayo and the Freddie Foos of the world, a lot of these athletes would never get back on the field. Talking about Ray Graham, you know, icing his knee, there would have been a time that type of injury would have been a death sentence. How much does that mean to a coach like you to have doctors surrounding you like Dr. Mayo, Coach Harris?
Tremendous, you know. And it's hard on the players, but when you get around somebody that really knows what they're doing, and they believe in the doctor's program, you know, when the players do, and the coaches do, I think it's a really great formula.
Bob, we're going to do a little baseball here, and Frank's going to drop by, too, talk a little bit of baseball. It still has to be one of your top stories. I mean, I led with it in sports today. They're three games out. They're still in the thing. I know people don't like the way they've been playing. Jeff and I text messaging each other last night and, you know, tallying ourselves down because, I mean, we thought this thing was going to be a lost cause yesterday. The Pirates right now, relevant as a sports writer and as a sports fan, yay or nay?
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's, you know, September baseball. I mean, you know. You don't want to see a team go into a free fall at this time of year, and you never know what's going to pull them out of it. But, you know, I'm one of those mathematics guys. If there's still a chance, there's still a chance. So the thing about it is, as badly as they play, they haven't lost that much ground. So, you know, you stick a stake in the ground and you turn it around, you're right there. But, see, the lesson of sports is always, you know, don't give it up until you're – what Yogi say, it's not over till it's over. So as long – if they can put together a streak, they'll be right back in it and where they should be.
Now, of all the things that I'm concerned about, and I was never all years the pitching.
And yeah, well.
I know. Just when I thought it was safe to go back in the water, here comes Jaws. So what do you think?
Well, you know, it's still a long season. These guys for a lot of innings, a lot of pressure. You know, people don't realize that it's pressure baseball now. They're playing in September where every pitch means something, and that a lot of these guys have never been there. And I'm with Bob. I mean, until it's over, I mean, they can win today, win tomorrow, and then, you know, they have to win two out of three from Milwaukee this week when they come home. But there's still a chance because other teams aren't playing that well. I mean, St. Louis lost again yesterday. They gave up. They were winning. They lost to the Dodgers in ninth inning. So, I mean, there's still a lot of baseball left. And they play the Braves and the Reds the last six games of the season. So it could be in their own hands. And, you know, you can get hot. I mean, somebody has to get hot here the next week or two. And I think Walker coming back, even though he was 0-for-5, I think it makes the team feel better. And, you know, it's, I mean, with his new second wild card pick, I mean, it's still exciting. I mean, the Pirates, we're talking about Pirate baseball in September. It's pretty neat.
I like it. I like it. But I got to tell you, I love the Dodgers story, though, too. Magic and, you know. I do. I want the Pirates to be there, but if it can't be the Pirates, I do like the Dodgers.
$250 million added salary. See, to me, I think that's crazy, so Rob.
Right.
Nuts. $250?
Hey,
$250 million.
Still Hollywood, man.
Quarter
it
is
California.
Hollywood.
Look at this guy. He looks better than any of us.
Well, Walt Harris does look good, doesn't he? He looks like he could still... I mean,
he looks like he did when I was talking to him 15 years ago.
He hasn't changed at all.
No!
It's amazing.
And it's obviously he's saying, what the hell happened to you, Rob? One of those things. Hey, one more thing about the Pirates. How long before a sports writer like Mr. Dvorak writes, maybe Clint Hurdle's time has come to an end? I hope that's not the case.
No, I don't think you're going to lay this on Hurdle.
Don't, yeah, please.
Because he's the one that's responsible for this resurgence. But I think his challenge is to hold it together in these last couple of weeks and say, you know, this is when you have to learn how to win ball games, not to give them away.
And here's one other thing. If he doesn't get us to the postseason, I don't know what we're going to do, because bubblegum is like it's short supply. And the guy chews it so much that people just want to go out and buy it. So
my jaw gets sore just watching him. I'm telling
have you ever? When I was 10 years old on my Stingray bike that I bought at Sears, I didn't chew that much bubblegum. All right, listen, we'll take a break, wrap up the hour. Back with more in a moment.